Good afternoon. I'm Aida Giacello. I'm going to be talking about strategies to overcome physician-Latino patient communication barriers. And like everybody else, I don't have any disclosure or no relationship with any of the sponsor for this event. Basically, the objectives of this presentation is to be able to identify some of the communication barriers and issues that the clinician, patient, and system level experience, demonstrate strategy to overcome some of those barriers, and promote the use of qualitative methods to identify and address those issues. The background of the study that I will be presenting was in Chicago. As you know, the Latino population is growing very rapidly, representing close to 15% of the total U.S. population. And when you look at the data, you find that a significant number of them do not speak English well. Actually, some of the data that I have here in the slide says that 47% of Spanish speakers in studies argue or document or say that they speak English less than very well. And if they are born in another country, 72% will say that they speak English not very well either. The American Medical Association has developed an Hispanic initiative, health initiative, to assess the magnitude of the problem. As you know, the AMA is located in Chicago in terms of the headquarters. In Chicago, one-third of the city population are Hispanic. So the likelihood of hearing about some of the concerns from the provider perspective of speaking or providing services to non-English speaking has increased to the level that they became interested in knowing more about what exactly are some of the communication barriers, what are some of the strategies to be able to overcome them. So in the year 2006, they convened an Hispanic-Latino Health Summit with national leaders and experts. They gave a number of recommendations beyond what the presentation here entails. Very basically, what we did was three focus groups conducted in Chicago, and they were recorded and transcribed, and some of them included physicians that were, actually the criteria was to have consumers and physicians. Two of the focus group were physicians that were non-Latino, and they were actually identified through the American Medical Association. Another group of physicians were Latino physicians, also recruited through AMA and with some assistance with us. And then the patients in the focus group were recruited by the Midwest Latino Health Research Training and Policy Center that I direct. The budget was very limited, so this is a very small pilot effort. In terms of the participant, for the patient consumer group, they were primarily Mexican. It was a small group of Mexican immigrants because that was part of the requirement to involve them, that they have to be immigrant. And most of them were recruited from a number of other programs that we have that deal with diabetes-related issues. So in average, they have very low levels of education, very low language acculturation, despite the fact that many of them have been in the United States for 23 years. We had the primarily Latino physician. The Latino physician recruited for the focus group, we were able to recruit six. They were older, with a lot of experience, and all of them received their Fordham medical graduates degrees outside the United States. The non-Latino physician were much younger, and they were ethnically diverse. Three of those out of 10 had their degree, the Fordham medical graduates. They were Fordham medical graduates with less experience, and half of them had some level of language, Spanish language skill. The findings clearly indicate that the patients, at least that we were able to include in the focus group, were really tell us all kinds of stories about the unfair treatment that they received and the lack of they felt they were not welcome in their setting. In other words, they said that from the moment they tried to get an appointment right there, the people who answer the phone are not friendly, they have this attitude about kind of bothering them, you know, and asking for an appointment. Once they finally get into the clinic, most of them report experience as the receptionist to begin with was not friendly. Immediately, don't come to me, sit over there, I'll let you know when it's your turn. And, you know, the whole interaction was quite negative from the patient perspective, to the point that finally when they get to see the doctor is looking at the medical chart. They don't establish any eye-to-eye contact. Very little communication takes place about why they're there, what are the symptoms, the problem. And basically what the patient was telling us, that within 5 or less minutes, the patient encounter ended without them having an idea about what the doctor had found, because they were either looking at the medical charts and perhaps other, you know, analysis that they were asked at the previous visit. And they really left with no understanding about what exactly was happening. So again, they felt mistreated, they felt not welcome, they felt violated, they felt that they were not treated with a kind of dignity. So that's the patient perspective when they saw the non-Latino physician. A lot of degree of dissatisfaction, a climate that is very cold in terms of patient-doctor relationship. And they felt the physician was very much in a hurry, that they had time limited, that they were too technical in the kinds of information they were, the limited information they would share in terms of their condition. And so in general, the experience were negative. When we talked with the Latino physician was also critical of the non-Latino physician. They said that that in treating Latino, and now that I'm doing a lot more studies in Latin American countries, the interaction is different. When you come to the doctor's office or to the clinic, first of all, the doctor shakes your hand, smiles at you, look at you, asks you how you're doing. It's just a more friendly kind of relationship. When they finally talk to you, they usually ask you not only about your problem and other related environmental conditions related to your work, another condition that may impact your symptoms and illness, but they also ask you about your spouse and children. So the relationship is different. So the Latino physician was saying that somehow the Latino have a need to be seen, to be heard, rather than just giving medication and hurry up, you know, in treating them. And so they really stressed, the Latino physician stressed that there was a need to to spend more time in the engagement, in establishing rapport, in listening, and giving that personal attention that in this case, the Latino patient is expecting, to involve the family and show concern about their general well-being, and to pay attention to cultural beliefs, such as home remedies, over-the-counter medication, and any other sign that it may lead to some depression on the patient. In other words, that the Latino physician felt that they take a little bit more time just to look holistically at the condition of the patient and be able to explore this area. And so they also stated the handling of appointment access, that it has to be more user-friendly to the consumer, and they were very much concerned about a number of issues that has to do with the organization of healthcare. The non-Latino physician in this group, many expressed a sense of frustration. They really were trying very hard. I had the opportunity to facilitate this group. They really were trying very hard to reach out to the Latino client to be able, but they had this sense of frustration of providing services to a group for which they knew very little in terms of cultural norms and behavior. And they felt that impacted the way in which they were interacting, and because they were not getting the kind of information that they felt they needed, they were aware that the quality of the care that they were providing was not the best. Many of them depended on interpreters, and they said that in many occasion they have to wait for the interpreter to arrive so they could be able to interact with the patient. They admitted that they use often relative, because relatives are with the patient, they had another choice. And many of them also complain about the fact that although about, you know, in average they have graduated 5 years from medical school, the content on addressing issues of gender or race and ethnicity was hardly, you know, present in the curriculum, and that the few times that they were exposed to information about Latino culture was generally about Latino in general, rather than the many different subgroups, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, etc. If they felt that the physician has to, in a way, become more knowledgeable the specific ethnic group that they're providing services. They also felt that they needed a lot of information to give to the patient in terms of illness. And so there was a lot of discussion among some of the members of this focus group saying how they download material right on the spot, because in their doctor's office or clinic, they have very little brochure on diversity of materials, English and Spanish. And so they felt that they needed to also do a step, take another step in trying to provide the information that perhaps may help the client, the patient, to become more knowledgeable about or whatever the condition they were addressing. Again, some of the Latino physicians, and this was also acknowledged by the English-speaking physician, they were concerned about the shortage of Latino physicians that we have available. You know, many of them, again, were trained in the country of origin. They're in retirement age. And based on the data that one of the speakers in the beginning provided, you know, very few are graduating from medical school for all kinds of barriers. I mean, 50% of Latinos don't even finish high school. And on top of that, very few go to college, and very few are attracted to the health professional, which is a more expensive kind of education. But anyway, they're concerned about the lack of replacement or even the field that exists. They complain a lot about the whole application process, that even Latino who may go to Spain or to the Virgin Island or other places to get a medical degree, when they come back here to practice, although they are U.S. citizens, they face tremendous amount of barriers in terms of the licensing and the requirements and everything else. And so they were also expressing concern about the fewer and more competitive residency, even when they go through all the many different processes to be able to apply for residency with a competition that exists. It's almost impossible to really make it there. And then on top of that issue that has to do with immigration, because there's a number of Latinos who have graduated from medical school in the country of origin, but they are U.S. resident or they are working on their, you know, paper. And so many of them are working in position in other jobs for which they're not really maximizing the knowledge and the experience. So all that came to discussion in terms of a general framework of how AMA need to look at many multiple issues that impact patient-doctor communication. In terms of other recommendations, the physician and the American Medical Association summit group, because there was a summit that took place, as I mentioned before, with national expert, Latino expert, said that the AMA have to be more aggressive in promoting public education campaign that will be aimed at the patient in this case. Many of the immigrants have limited information about how to best communicate with the healthcare provider, how to use medical services, how to navigate the healthcare system in general, that perhaps AMA can be able to work more with that. They also recommended the AMA to even develop curriculum, whether it's online, you know, website or whatever, to be able to increase the knowledge of physician who wants to know more about the culture and many norms and many other behavior, including the use of over-the-counter medication and other non-traditional kinds of activity. And they also thought that there should be for professional group some kind of centralized information, educational material that they could be easier for them to download it, print it, give it to the patient if they don't have those available. And then they also talk about a number of other barriers that has to do with the organization of the healthcare system, how to, you know, make sure that people who are looking for an appointment are able to get it within a reasonable amount of time, how to make sure that people, once they get to the clinic, doesn't have to wait long periods of time, how to make the clinic more user-friendly in terms of the kinds of painting and things that you could have there that the patient would feel welcome in that environment. You know, they also stress the need for customer service training, that this thing of interacting with the public was a skill that the secretary or receptionist or other health professional really don't master well, and there has to be a conscientious effort to be able to do that. Physicians also say that they need more training in Spanish, learning basic Spanish, so they could be able to interact when there is not an interpreter or a relative and when the person don't speak English. They also would like more information about just medical program, including, you know, what is insurance for the health insurance for children, or Medicaid or Medicare, or even update information about medication and acceptability of those medication. And they also would like more, you know, assistance in terms of how to involve the family, because they know that Latinos are very family-oriented and the family tend to go with them. So the family can be used as a positive influence in terms of the management and the care related to certain chronic diseases. And so they also, you know, recommended the fact that there has to be some mechanism to identify and train a bilingual interpreter to increase access. Latino physician recommended contracting programs for the uninsured to private offices. This is something that, by the way, some countries in Latin America are doing. Whenever the public sector is overloaded, they have some mechanism of moving them into the private sector just to make sure they don't have to wait that long. So there were a number of other, you know, recommendations about how to organize the system, how to flow the office visit in a way that could make it more accessible to Latino immigrant, and also have to have hours in the evening, weekends, so that way those that are unemployed and who cannot, or unemployed who depend on family for transportation, could be able to have other ways of getting into the healthcare system. So I know that I'm running out of time, but basically, you know, I could go on, but most of the other recommendation in the slide is reinforcing some of the things that I already have alluded to. Thank you.
Okay, well, we have some time for some questions, and so we can begin. Are there any questions? And that includes members of the panel for one another. That would be great.